and welcome to Behind the Business, a podcast where we talk to Hot Springs business owners and managers about their business. Each Monday, we go inside the business to get a unique perspective on the challenges and opportunities businesses face today. My name is James Lee, and we're broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for joining us today. I'd like to welcome Karina Martinez and Kylie Brown to the podcast. They're with Catch My Eye Magic. Karina, I know you've only been over there at your location there on Park since about March, but tell me, how did you get involved in all of the things that y'all do over there?
I started with the henna. I was actually in school for theater and writing. And I mean, it's cool. I've come full circle now. I've had a book come out. But like back then, that's what I thought I was going to do. Period. And I saw henna body art and I was like, well, I can't have tattoos because I'm an actress. And so that's not on the table until I can be at a certain level. Mm-hmm. And so then I got this henna body art because I was like, it lasts 1 to 2 weeks. How neat. It can be temporary, but I don't have to pick from like a stick-on option. It can be freehand. And then I didn't know anything about the safety of henna, the dangers of henna. I was actually offered black henna, which I now know is very dangerous. You don't want black henna unless it's a jagua juice. Henna is actually only supposed to be a plant-based paste. And so I started to do a lot of research on it whenever I was like, I want to kind of figure it out for myself because I could only find it in Little Rock and it was someone that was offering black henna, which I come to find out, like, okay, ask if it's natural, ask what it's mixed with. And as long as you know what it's mixed with, it's safe. Like if your artist can tell you, it's very important if you're finding henna. Mm-hmm. But from that point on, I got into the art. People started to ask me for the art, so I started to give it to them. I didn't think I could draw before that point. I was a sophomore in school and didn't think I could do art. I was like, I'm not a visual artist, just a performing. And so then I, from that point, went to doing little pop-ups. My first ever gallery show, when someone said, hey, could you make some of these on paintings, is actually at Prohibition Press, which was a t-shirt shop that is now our location. So that was the first time I ever did a gallery show, is what is now our current location, which was really fun, full circle as well. Right. And so I graduated college, and at that point I met some really lovely people at Metaphysical Connection, and they enjoyed my henna, and they were like, hey, if you want to do it here, you can do it here. And so I was able to transition full time from college into being an artist. By popping up there. And so from there, I got to learn about so much of the crystals. They took me on my first crystal dig, and I became obsessed from that point on. That's why we have so many crystals everywhere now, and I'm always wrapping them. And then they taught me tarot and Reiki, and I just realized how much of it I was kind of already doing, especially within the energy work. Reiki is one of those where it's a really cool toolbox, but I tell people all the time, we're all energy workers. Like, if you know how to take a deep breath when you got stressed out, you're doing energy work on yourself. Like, we all are capable of having that. And so that gave me a lot of tools to just understand it on new layers, new levels. And from there, we closed at September 2019 and started to travel full time. That was really cool. We got to live off grid in Arizona for a while, and we're in Colorado. And then at that point, we hit 2020 time, and so slowed down and stayed home and got to do a lot of online art shows and took everything into an online route and started helping people a lot that way with connections through a lot of communication, it felt like, at that time, because we were all getting to talk at a distance. And then it was this year that I kind of came into a new lull of enjoying everything that had been happening, but I've always been looking at little brick and mortars. It was always a dream, and it was always a one day. Right. Like, oh, eventually, when I could have a gallery. And I'd always talk about it like that. When I have my gallery, like, it'll happen, but we don't know when. And my family, I used to always send my mom little messages being like, look at this storefront that has, like, I could tell you all the storefronts of when there was numbers in front of them and which ones probably still have them. My eye still looks for that. And I was like, look at this picture, look at this place. And she called for this spot, and it just lined up so beautifully. And it just felt like home because of the fact that it was that spot that I got to do my first ever art show. And then my family was like, you know, we'll be in this with you. Like, you don't have to, because I was like, it's still not possible. I can't do it all by myself. Like, it's just, it's a lot in addition to everything that it takes to make everything. And they're like, no, we're going to be there. We'll be there, like, in there with the hours. So you're not alone. So you got that. And I was like, you know what? I think all that's left is if I'm willing to believe in myself. It's a yes or no. Do I believe in it and their ability to believe in me, or do I want to just stay safe and kind of wait until I'm ready one day? And I don't know when I'll be ready, really, other than my belief in myself. And so at that point, that's when I was like, okay, let's take the dive and do it. Let's, like, see how people respond, because it's one of those. If people enjoy it, then you get to keep offering it. And if not, we'll find a different direction that we go. But so far, every month, we continue to have more people that like find a variation of home in it and getting to be there. And it's been beautiful getting to see like the way that it holding that space, what it provides at the end of the day for people.
Right. So you said this is a family-owned business, and not only family-owned, but it is a family business. You mentioned your mom. Kylie here is your cousin. Tell me, when it comes to having your family involved in all of this, you know, was this something that they were all also kind of interested in, or is it just, you know, because they wanted to support you and be there for you and help you do what you wanted to do? Is that kind of why they got involved with it?
Well, and Kylie over here, she's my sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law.
No, you're good. And, well, like, it's, we're, like, every day it's changing. We're just growing into, like, new, our family. And we say that because we're, like, both on the brink of getting married. And so we're about to. But, I mean, it's been kind of, I think, both. In the sense that I think it started in the beginning. My mom, in the beginning, she would tell everyone, like, oh, she's the artist. I'm just supporting her.
I feel like for me, when I showed up here, I was, like, not prepared. I didn't know any of these people. And then I met Karina. And I was like, I don't know what she does, but I know I believe in it. I know it's going to be good. And so for me, I was like, okay, what do you need? Where do you need me? Okay, we've got an event. Let's do it. Let's go. You hungry? I'll go get you food. You start on this henna. I've got a schedule. We've got the book going. So I feel like for most of us, it's not just that we believe in what she does. We believe that she is doing good things. It's that we want to help. We want to be involved because, like, the growth that I've experienced just since I've been around is incredible, and I want to be there to see how that goes and how much bigger it gets.
See, that's where I think it ripples every time. It feels like in the beginning, like, because, like, the way mom would be like, oh, I'm just here to help. And, like, who she is now versus when she started showing up at booths with me. Like, eventually she got her own reading and she went in for a Reiki. And I remember that day, that's when everything changed. That's when she switched from being like, oh, I want to support you, to being like, oh, because she had been going to doctors for a year. And, like, I'm really big, like, still go to your doctors and do your things. But she was in that situation where she went through so many tests and could not figure out why she had built up such a difficulty breathing. They tested the house for mold. They were doing all of these tests on her, and they just couldn't figure out anything. And so she did this reading. She went in, and we found out that she had a lot of stuff that, and she tells me everything it feels like. She had stuff that she was hiding so much that she wouldn't share with any of the family because of how much internalized shame she built around it from an idea of what she thought it would mean to everyone, that is, if she let us all down. So she wasn't sharing at all and just going through it all by herself, trying to hold on the family. And she finally was honest about it, because the cards will pull things up sometime. And there she was. She was like, okay, well, actually, you know, your mind will tell you exactly what that story is. Like a good book, you relate it to it. And so she was honest. And then we did the energy work and we started to move those, acknowledged it. Like, this doesn't need to mean anything about you. This isn't actually your weight to carry, and you have more than you willing to carry it. From that day on is when she shifted from being like, I want to support you, it's cute, to being like, okay, this changed my life. I can breathe again. I'm finally able to get back on track. We took a year of the medical route, and she still is on top of that. But being able to realize she could pair the two to create a deeper amount of freedom. And now she'll check in on both. When she gets that heaviness feeling, she's now like, okay, I'm going to do it for myself. And that's when for a while she tells me too, she goes, I always thought that it was something that only you did. I was like, oh, these girls are so cool. They do these cool things. She goes, and then it took me a while to realize I could do it too. And so then she had this beautiful next step of coming into believing in herself and the way she could help people. Because I was like, Mom, you're a mom to everyone, it feels like. You're the kind of nurturing energy. People just feel so soothed to be around. People come to you all the time for a reason. And so it's been really lovely seeing someone go from, I'm just a mom, to being like, oh, no, I have this beautiful nurturing, like, ability to hold space for people, and that actually is valuable to people, and it's not just something everyone else can do, but it's something that I can do, too. And so everyone that's come close, all the family, I really think it started as, like, yeah, we're supportive, but every single person, it's, like, it's cool because now everyone is in their world helping people in really cool ways.
Right.
Tune in to Check Out, the Garland County Library's new podcast every Friday for all things library. Being the state's first lending library since 1833, we are your connection point for the information you need, including books, movies, music, and much more. Find out more at gclibrary.com.
So tell me a little bit about what it's like being at this location. I know that, you know, before you had been over here on Central, and, you know, being on Park, it's a little off, you know, the beaten path, but, you know, you've got that little strip mall, for lack of a better term, right there that you're in. Do you get a lot, do you still get a lot of people that come in that just kind of see it, or what kinds of traffic do you get?
It's a solid yes and no with that. So what's beautiful about Park Avenue is that, and it took me a second to realize this, is that you're coming right in from everyone from the village, anyone that takes that old highway from the Little Rock area. If you're coming from the 40 at all, you have to come in from that way. And that's like everyone that's going from the west. And so you have to come up Park Avenue. Now, you're driving, you're not necessarily foot traffic the way that I had the luxury of when I was on Central Avenue. That
right.
was very nice to be at just an eye moment's impulse pivot, which is why festivals are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But with the shop, we realized what we do have is windows. I'm an artist. And so we have, like, I am loving up those windows about once a month, adding something new every time with the detail to the painting on it and holographic stickers to accent pieces. And we have a lot of people that tell us that those windows are what got them to turn around or pull over. And so luckily that's doing a good amount of the, like, helping people be aware of where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are telling, like, we had someone from Little Rock this weekend drive in, and they're like, yeah, someone told me that when I come into town, like, I won't be able to miss you. And I'm like, I'm glad that that's how we can be described in that sense when we were kind of in the middle of not the downtown strip, but around the corner. But Park Avenue has been doing so much growth. I mean, we've got, like, the Will's food truck area with mm-hmm. Red Light right there. That's been beautiful, the way that, like, that's been blossoming. And I actually got to paint the mural down there 6 or 7 years ago, so now mm-hmm. I should touch it up. It's been so weathered. That's my goal, once it slows down a little and isn't terribly hot or rainy. And right. so, but it's beautiful seeing that pick up. And then we've got us going on over there. We've got so many different murals coming up down in that area. And so I think it's really starting to build as that extension of downtown when it comes to an artsy place to do. You got the clubhouse that's doing First Friday Art Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been part of Gallery Walk too with us when it comes to just continuing to build, hey, everyone, like, Park Avenue has really cool things happening. And Park Avenue has such a tight neighborhood that it's been really neat seeing how everyone there has been supportive and excited to have things that's just within walking distance. And then we've got a shop opening up next door probably in the next few months. And I think that's going to be a beautiful addition because they're going to have tattoos. And so I was like, that's going to be cool. You can have, like, mom and daughter, where, like, mom gets a tattoo and then the daughter can go get henna. And it's like, you can have, like, that together if you are whoever wants to do it. But I was like, it's going to be a neat opportunity. And so luckily I've done a lot with social media and showing up with vending. We're almost at every event we can find that's local. You'll find our little henna booth with the henna painted across the purple canopy. Like, people see that. Even yesterday we're at Farmer's Market and someone's on the tour of the trolley. They're like, oh, I saw it from the road. And that's why we have henna on all four sides painted. It's a hand-painted canopy. Everyone always asks, how do you do that? We're like, it's just painted with acrylic. And that's how we're big on painting and visibility through that, because I've learned that makes such a big difference, just willing to be loud with expression and art and stuff and let people know. Because if not, I don't think we would have a lot of traffic if we were relying on a combination of community connection, social media, and then visibility through art.
Right. So the people who do end up coming into the shop, you know, like you said, I assume that most of them are coming in because they see the art or they see the henna or whatever. But, you know, are people kind of surprised by everything that you offer? Or, you know, do a lot of them kind of just take it all in and then walk in the door? Because, you know, I've walked by your shop. I've seen, you know, all the stuff out there. So, you know, you've got a lot on display that people can see before they even walk in the door. So what is it that people who come in tend to be like? Do they, like I said, do they tend to have an idea of what you do and are surprised, or do they come in knowing this is kind of what y'all are?
I'd say they get a strong idea from the front, and I'm glad we kind of specifically curated it that way, because we don't want henna it going out there in the sense of people that are just trying to, like, sometimes we get people that are doing it for the art's sake, and that's safe, right, and that's a fine. But we're people, like, we don't really run into people coming and trying to ask us for offensive body art things as much, because of the fact that I think it's very obvious that we're very, like, setting intentions and doing certain things. And then with the energy work and the readings and everything, and the styles of crystal, once people realize that the crystals are Reiki charged and they realize they have different intentions written out and communicated with them, that's when people start to see, they're like, oh, I can see how this is related. But almost everyone has a question about one piece. It's like, people are familiar with Reiki, but they want to know more about the sound bath. People are familiar with sound baths, but they have no idea what this Reiki thing is. They're familiar with Reiki and sound, but what kind of reading do you do? Because when you get into the realm of readings, there's so many intentions out there that, I won't lie, I mean, my mom's gone to people that have told her she's cursed and that they were going to have to buy a candle from them that she'd have to light for 10 days. And I was like, Mom, don't believe that. You always have your own power. Like, that is not a thing. Like, that is you. And I tell people when they walk in, everything's an extension. Everything's a tool you can use. You don't need any of it. It's all coming from your intention. It's just nice to amplify your attention sometimes with tools that make us think of, like, wedding rings. We like an extension of that intention, right, but it's not the ring that makes it so valuable and important. It's actually, like, that internal decision. And so we're really big on that. And people seem to feel at home with the idea of one piece and curious about others, but then they're very respectful, and we're very respectful if they're ever like, that's a little out there for me, I don't really think that's my direction, but it's cool that you do it and you seem to do it with love and kindness. And we're like, that's fine.
Right. So you mentioned people coming in and asking about the different kinds of body art. You know, I know when people tend to think of henna, they tend to think of, you know, the traditional, just geometrical type designs on the arms. Do you do more than that? And, you know, what kinds of things do you do?
Yes. I've done traditional, like, bridal henna, but I've also done where, like, at festivals, a really popular thing sometimes is sun and moon combinations. Sometimes it's mom and daughters getting matching lotus flowers. My most popular things that I do is usually my improvised pieces. And that way I can go into a flow. People get a lot more henna. It's almost like this is an improv. And that's where it's just custom made on the spot. So that way every time it's unique. But sometimes people have requests where they're getting a tattoo done in 2 weeks. And so they're like, hey, I want to test out this size. I want to test out this location. And it's actually really smart. If you're between, like, a forearm piece and a shoulder piece, it's really nice actually to see, okay, with my kind of clothes that I wear, with my work style and with this, for 2 weeks, I can test it out and see on a daily life, like, what do I actually feel like with these two locations? And so I think it's smart kind of testing these things out with henna, especially if you enjoy planning that type of stuff. I know everyone's different. Some people love the impulse thrill of getting a tattoo last minute. I don't know that yet. I'm so afraid of commitment. I've still only committed to henna, and one day I'll get a real tattoo, but not yet. And so I think it's cool on that side. I've had people when they've been going through chemo that have the henna crowns done. I've actually had women after breast cancer and, I'm going to say this wrong, mastectomy, sorry, where they've had henna to be able to test out just body art on their chest before they went and got permanent tattoos done. And so it's really cool in that sense when you've had a chance to, especially with the chemo and different things, when people have been like, man, I didn't get to choose things anymore. Like, I have to go between hats. And I remember one of my ladies, she was like, I just really like that I get to choose this and that I got to be proud and that something that I can share. And everyone's, like, at different places with what makes them feel that internalized proud. But I loved it for her when she was like, I felt like I chose this and I liked that. And so she'd come back every, like, 2 weeks. And then luckily she doesn't come back anymore because she is done with chemo. But it's one of those where it's neat, the different styles of body art, that it can be sometimes just connecting with someone you love, but sometimes it's for yourself. And sometimes it's, I've had ladies go for, like, full body, and it was purely for their own just time spending with themselves and something they wanted to do. But sometimes it's just something really petite or a name. I had someone recently, she got 90 in her wrist because it's her mom's 90th birthday. And so she wanted to show her mom and celebrate her mom. But she didn't want a real tattoo saying 90, but, like, something to be like, hey, Mom, look, it's your birthday.
Right. So about how long does henna tend to last?
1 to 2 weeks. And so we give everyone an aftercare card. Basically, you keep it on as long as you can, and you seal your stain before you get it wet with something waxy balmy. And so if people ignore all the aftercare, they'd have like a 4-day to a 1-week stay. Most people follow half, which is why I say 1 to 2 weeks. Some people are on it, and they'll have good stains. Yeah, like Kylie here has had some good stains. And then it will last even sometimes like 2.5 weeks. But that's why we say 1 to 2, is because most people follow in the half range. I mean, that's me included. This one is, it'll be 2 weeks on Friday, and we got a good fade on all the finger bits, but we got the wrist at least staying.
Right. So tell me, Where y'all are located, and you know, if somebody is wanting to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
We are at 761 Park Avenue, right next to like the Emily's. Mm-hmm. God, such good food. And right near the David F. Watkins Park and over there on Park Avenue. And then as far as finding us, we've got some websites that make it a bit easier. And we're on social media. We're crazy on our social media. So that's a good spot too. And so you're going to find that as Catch My Eye Magic. And that's the Instagram, the Facebook. That's the website, catchmyeyemagic.com. You'll also find all three as Catch My Eye Henna, if you've ever been looking at it that way, since that was what we were known as for like 5 years up until we opened the shop and realized we were doing more than just henna. Right. And so either of those will easily help you locate us via web. Like, we have all of that, all those names for website and socials, and we're able to respond on all of those. But that way we have an online booking set up there. That's easy if you want to do it in advance, or you can send a message if you're just like, I don't know what I want to online book, but I think I want this day and it's going to be within this 2 hours. Is it okay if I'm like in between those 2 hours and I tell you the day of? And I'm usually, if it's like a slow, I'm like, yeah, let's like work with it. And so right. Sometimes I've had people ask if they can book before my booking hours are available, because we don't open till noon. Because we're open late. That's a big thing, is that we were open till 8. And that was so that way we could be something to do for people in town after 5 o'clock.
Right.
Other than just eating. That way you can do something with dinner if you want.
Right. Right. So are y'all open 7 days a week? Or
six every day but Wednesday. Wednesday's our only closed day.
Okay. And you said noon to 8?
Noon to 8.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming by. You know, I enjoyed sitting here getting to talk to you and learning a little bit, because, you know, a lot of these things I didn't even know about. So I hope that our listeners will enjoy and learn as much as I did.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And it's fun. A whole new world to kind of start to dip your toe in.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Behind the Business. New episodes are released each Monday from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for listening.